Well, she's been to the World Cup and then back to London, and I believe she's in Helsinki this morning. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very well.
I'm in Helsinki, and I've just been to perhaps the most astonishing press conference I've ever been to with Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Quite amazing. And there is a sporting side to this, though, because Vladimir Putin gave Donald Trump a soccer ball and was handing the baton over to him because, of course, the United States and Canada will be hosting the World Cup, not the next edition that's in Qatar, but the one after. And, of course, the immediate jokes began about how Donald Trump needed to check the football for, you know, any listening devices inside it.
Did he say anything, Vladimir, about being on stage and being the only person on the stage during the monsoon that had the umbrella?
No, he didn't. But, of course, he has been getting many congratulations from around the world, not only from Donald Trump, but other world leaders about how well Russia did host the World Cup. And genuinely, it's been seen as a huge success and a big PR boost for him. And everybody has had a great time, and the welcome of the Russian people was certainly above what most people expected.
Jack, I don't know whether you saw it or not, but on social media, they were talking about the lady that put the medal into her pocket. Do we know who she was and what she was doing?
No, I don't. And I don't know what that was about. Got no idea.
She had a spare medal.
Mystery.
Yeah, she had the spare medal, and they just sort of see her tucking it into her coat pocket.
Yes,
but no one can work out who she is and what she was doing with the medal.
She was on the podium during the presentation, handing out the medal. So
yes, but you know, there was just one left over. It was probably just a nice souvenir.
That's exactly right. Who's missed out? Surely there's a set number of medals that are handed out and someone's missed out. Just speaking of the celebrations, two fans have been killed apparently after the celebrations. It's amazing how we saw it with the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL, and now we see it in France, all around France. Why do people, when they're celebrating, why do they go to that next stage, Jacqueline?
Of rioting. It's been enormous wild scenes in Paris. And, of course, it has resulted in the deaths of two men. One died breaking his neck when he fell into a canal, and he was just basically had far too much to drink. And another one was involved in a car crash. But then, of course, there's all the damage, the looting, the shop windows that have been damaged, the cars. I mean, I don't understand it either, why when you've enormous celebrations. And today we've seen in the centre of Paris a huge welcome for the team where 500,000 people have turned out on the streets of Paris to welcome them. And in what is just a joyous, spontaneous celebration of having fun. But yet last night it was just carnage. And I don't know, I'm sure there's some psychologists out there that can explain it, but it seems to be getting worse. I don't know if you think that, but it just seems every time it just gets worse and worse now.
Yeah, it's not good to see, and you don't mind people celebrating, but when people are losing their lives, it's not great. And
there seems to be a pack mentality where there's a release of the frustrations of your life.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's something
possibly, but it's also they've been drinking all day as well. And, you know, they start early before the match, and then after they've won, they kick on for many hours afterwards. I think that's got a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, you might be right.
I've done some drinking in my time. I've never done any looting after drinking, but
no,
anyway.
I've never, and I always like an early start too, Jimmy. But anyway, Jack, Wimbledon, Djokovic, very, very good.
Yes, well, beating Kevin Anderson. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the tournament that he, you know, Djokovic would have won? I mean, he's had his troubles in the last 2 years, especially with several elbow injuries. He seems to have overcome that. There's been some personal issues as well. Mm. He seems to have got that in order. And he's back to, you know, really hot form and getting high percentage of first serves in. He's won his fourth Wimbledon title. He now goes into the US Open as the favourite. And the US Open could be where the top four are back in action because Andy Murray is saying he's going to play, Roger Federer, of course, and Nadal. So there were some great matches at Wimbledon, wasn't it? But most of them were in the semi-finals, I'm afraid, you know, with those really long matches. And, of course, that raises questions about whether it should be a tiebreaker in the fifth set. The US Open does that, but nobody else does. And amazingly, I, as a spectator, I love it, you know, the fact that it goes on and on and on and is such a gripping contest, but apparently the players don't like it and neither do the officials because they have to hang around for a longer time than what they would have liked to.
The broadcasters like it?
Of course. Well, sometimes they do. It does disrupt programming, though.
Yeah, I suppose if you're trying to butt it into the 6 o'clock news and it's at 26:24, that's going to make it a little more difficult. Richie Port, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. Devastation for him. He's crashed out. And the ninth stage again, and this time broken collarbone.
Yes, he's now looking for the Tour of Spain later in the year to get back into action for that because he did come in with such great form. The one, there's any light at the end of the tunnel, a collarbone doesn't mean that he's going to lose fitness because he can just get back on the bike, on the trainer, and keep his legs moving. And, you know, he'll be in still pretty good form for later in the season. So, yeah, it's just devastating for him. You know, when is Richie going to finish a tour in, you know, one piece? But, yeah, there goes Australia's main chances too. Mm.
Now, Jack, you never stop working. You're in Helsinki. You've been to the World Cup. And I believe you're off to Carnoustie this week, Thursday or tomorrow.
Yes. No, I'm going in a few hours' time, actually, and looking forward to it very much. And Adam Scott, new caddy, you know, he's hired this mental guru, Fanny Summerson, who was Nick Faldo's ex-caddy and helped guide him when he won the 90 and 92 Opens. So hopefully Adam Scott gets his head in a good space and, you know, he's got the talent. It's just, you know, producing it at the right time. There'll be eight Aussies in the field, which is exciting. And Tiger Woods today was talking about how the hard fairways, there's a bit of a drought happening here in the UK and there hasn't been too much rain in the last month to 6 weeks. And he was saying that the very hard fairways plays to his game and he thinks he's going to win. Might be wishful thinking, I think, but he's certainly talking the talk.
Oh, there you go. You've got to think that going into those tournaments. Good luck with Vladimir. Good luck with Donald. And thanks for joining us today, Jack.
Thanks, guys.